A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Here's the thing that gets me. Every single pilot, whether they're flying a Cessna with one engine or an Airbus with 400 passengers, works through a checklist before they leave the ground. It's non-negotiable. It's muscle memory. And yet, if you asked most drivers when they last checked their tire pressure or popped the hood to look at the coolant, you'd get a blank stare and maybe a vague guess about sometime last spring.
Or they'll tell you the tire pressure light hasn't come on yet, so everything must be fine. Which is like saying your smoke detector hasn't gone off, so the wiring in the walls is definitely safe.
Waiting for the warning light is the automotive equivalent of discovering your appendix is already burst.
Here's the number that should make people uncomfortable. Department of Energy has data showing underinflated tires alone cause 90% of blowouts and reduce fuel efficiency by up to 3%. That's not a mechanical failure in some exotic component. That's air. That's checking air.
Daniel sent us this one, and it connects directly to a whole thread we've been pulling at for a while now. We've talked about standard operating procedures in household contexts, in medicine, in childcare. Those episodes kept circling back to aviation, because aviation figured this out decades ago. The question this time is, what if we took that aviation checklist model and built one specifically for the private car owner? Not a vague suggestion to check your fluids sometimes, an actual structured booklet, laminated, sitting in the glove box, divided into tiers. Daily quick scan, monthly deep check, pre-trip extended inspection. The whole thing.
I love this, because the problem it's solving isn't that people don't know how to check their oil. The problem is cognitive load. When you're about to drive 6 hours to see family, your brain is managing route planning and packing, and whether you remember to lock the back door, and the last thing you're going to do is calmly recall all 14 things you should inspect. The checklist offloads that.
The stakes are real. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration published a study in 2023 showing that 12% of crashes involve vehicle-related factors. Tires are the most common preventable cause in that category. That's not driver error. That's not weather. That's just stuff that was wrong with a car that someone could have caught.
So, if you're on a highway with 100 cars around you, statistically, a dozen of them have something mechanically wrong that could cause an accident. And most of those drivers have no idea.
Which is where we're going with this. You wouldn't get on a plane if you knew the pilot skipped the pre-flight checklist. But we all get into cars every day where the equivalent inspection never happened. So what would it actually look like to build the thing?
This isn't just a thought experiment. There's a proven model for exactly this kind of checklist, and it's been saving lives on motorcycles for 50 years. We'll get to that.
But first, let's talk about why the structure matters as much as the content.
Because you can write down all the items in the world, but if the format fights the human brain, it's dead on arrival. And that's really what this is about. Applying human factors engineering to something most people treat as just car stuff.
Human factors engineering, which is a fancy way of saying, design the thing so. A tired, distracted person on a Friday afternoon before a road trip will actually use it correctly.
And aviation figured this out through decades of hard lessons. The pre-flight checklist isn't just a list of things to look at. It follows what's called a flow pattern. A consistent physical sequence that moves through the aircraft in a logical order. You start at one point, maybe the left wing route, and you work your way around. The checklist mirrors how your body naturally moves through the space. That's not an accident, that's design.
For a car, you don't want a random jumble of check tires, check oil, check lights that has you bouncing from the front bumper to the engine bay to the rear wheels and back again. You want a sequence that follows the natural walk around.
That's the first thing that makes the aviation model so transferable. When you do a pre-flight walk around on a small plane, you start at the door, move to the left wing, around the nose, right wing, tail, and back. You're not thinking about what comes next because the flow carries you. For a car, you'd start at the driver's door, circle the vehicle once for the visual scan, then pop the hood, then step inside for the dashboard checks. Same principle, different machine.
The other piece is the challenge response format. In a two-pilot cockpit, one pilot reads the item aloud, the other verifies and calls back the status. For a solo driver, you adapt that to a read-touch confirm method. You read the line, you physically touch the component, you confirm it's within spec.
There's real data behind why that matters. The University of Michigan Transportation Research Institute ran a study in 2021 that found challenge response verification, even self-administered, reduces omission errors by 42%. That's almost half the mistakes gone, just from the act of reading aloud and physically touching.
42%. So the same person, same knowledge, same car. Just adding the physical touch confirmation step nearly cuts the error rate in half.
Which gets at the core insight here. The checklist isn't teaching you anything you don't already know. It's protecting you from your own brain under load. When you're rushing, when you're tired, when you're thinking about whether you packed the snacks, that's when the checklist earns its keep. And that's exactly the kind of protection we can see in the actual booklet. Let's get concrete. We've established the psychology and the aviation lineage. What does that booklet look like when you pull it out of the glove box?
I'm picturing something laminated, spiral-bound, about the size of a passport. Three tabbed sections. First tab is the daily/weekly quick scan, 2 minutes. Second is the monthly deep check, maybe 10 minutes. Third is the pre-trip extended inspection, 20 minutes. Color-coded, naturally.
Because color coding is the graphic design equivalent of a sticky note that actually works. And the structure matters here. You're not just dumping 30 items onto a page. Each tier escalates in depth and time commitment, which means the driver isn't faced with a wall of text every time. You grab the tier that matches the situation.
The daily scan is the one that builds the habit. 2 minutes, same sequence every time, becomes automatic.
The layout for each page follows what aviation figured out works best under cognitive load. Left column names the item, right column gives you the pass or fail criteria. No paragraphs, no explanations, no if you're not sure, maybe consider. Binary where possible. You're between the marks or you're not. You see corrosion or you don't.
That's the thing most DIY car checklists get wrong. They're written like a magazine article. Engine oil is the lifeblood of your vehicle. And you should check it regularly by locating the dipstick, which is usually, nobody's reading that, at 6 in the morning before a road trip.
The two-column format strips it down to, left side, engine oil level. Right side, between min and max marks on dipstick, color amber to brown, not black or milky. Your brain doesn't have to parse, it just executes.
Let's walk through what's actually on the daily/weekly quick scan page. You approach the car, booklet in hand. First item, look under the vehicle for fluid puddles. Pass criteria, no puddles or drips larger than a quarter.
The sequence starts outside because that's where your body is. You haven't opened the door yet, so you're not fighting the instinct to just get in and drive. The flow pattern carries you from the approach, around the vehicle, then in.
Next item, tires. You're looking for obvious bulges, low spots, anything embedded in the tread. Pass criteria, no visible deformities, no objects protruding. Then the lights walk around. Headlights on, walk around the car, verify both front and rear are illuminated, turn signals flash, brake lights activate. Maybe 20 seconds if you're moving at normal speed.
Then you get in, and before you start the engine, you scan the dashboard. Warning lights. Pass criteria is no warning lights illuminated beyond the brief startup self-check. Fuel level, above 1/4 tank. This is the one people ignore until the light comes on, but running low consistently is hard on the fuel pump.
The whole page is maybe 8 items, 2 minutes, and you've caught the big stuff before it becomes a roadside emergency. The key is that nothing on this page requires tools or mechanical knowledge. It's all visual, all accessible, all designed for someone who just wants to get going, but doesn't want to discover a flat tire at 60 miles an hour.
Now the monthly deep check is where you actually pop the hood and engage. 10 minutes, maybe a Saturday morning ritual. And this is where the right-hand column starts doing heavier work, because the pass criteria get more specific.
Engine oil is the first item. You pull the dipstick, wipe it, reinsert, pull again. The pass criteria isn't just has oil. It's between the min and max marks, and the color matters. Amber to brown is fine. Black means it's overdue for a change. Milky or foamy means you might have coolant leaking into the oil, which is a whole different category of problem.
That's the quiet brilliance of putting the criteria right there on the page. Most people don't know what bad oil looks like. They pull the dipstick, see something wet, call it good. The checklist educates without lecturing.
Next, coolant level in the reservoir. Pass criteria, between the min and max lines on the side of the translucent tank. Fluid color consistent with the specified type. Usually pink, orange, or green, depending on the manufacturer. If you have to open the radiator cap, the booklet has a warning box, only when the engine is cold.
Similar visual check, between min and max, fluid should be clear to light amber. Dark or cloudy means it's absorbed moisture and needs replacing. Windshield washer fluid, full. Battery terminals. No white or bluish powdery buildup, which is corrosion, and the cable connections should be tight.
Then the tire tread depth with the penny test. This is the one everyone's heard of, but hardly anyone does. Insert a penny into the tread groove with Lincoln's head pointing down. If you can see the top of his head above the tread, you're below 2/32 of an inch, and those tires need replacing.
The penny test is the tire industry's greatest contribution to American numismatics, and it works because it's a go-no-go gauge that costs 1 cent and requires zero calibration.
The air filter is the last visual on the monthly check. Pull it out, hold it up to the light. If you can't see light through the filter media or if it's visibly caked with debris, replace it. Pass criteria. Light visible through filter. No significant debris accumulation.
Notice what's not on these pages. There's no consider checking, or you might also want to. Every item earns its place by being either a safety critical system or a failure point that strands you somewhere inconvenient. The discipline is in what you leave out.
Because a bloated checklist is a checklist that gets ignored. Aviation learned this too. If the pre-flight list is too long, pilots start skipping items mentally, even if they're going through the motions physically. The sweet spot for each tier is somewhere between 8 and 15 items.
Which brings us to the trade-off question. A physical booklet is great until it's not. It can get lost under the passenger seat, the lamination can peel, someone borrows the car and doesn't know it exists. There's an argument for putting this on a phone app.
The counter-argument is that the phone is the distraction device. You open an app to check your tire pressure, a notification pops up, suddenly you're reading a text message, and the checklist is forgotten. The physical booklet is gloriously single-purpose. It doesn't buzz, it doesn't have notifications, it exists only to be a checklist.
That's the human factors trade-off in a nutshell. Digital gives you reminders and logging and trend tracking, which we'll get to with the maintenance log section, but it also puts you one thumbtap away from Instagram. The laminated booklet is the boring, reliable choice, which is exactly what you want from a safety system.
The booklet is the friend who shows up on time and doesn't have a TikTok account.
That friend has a pretty remarkable track record in aviation. Think about the miracle on the Hudson. Captain Sullenberger had seconds to decide what to do after the bird strike, but once he made the call to ditch in the river, he and First Officer Skiles immediately transitioned to the dual engine failure checklist. They practiced it hundreds of times. The checklist didn't tell them what to decide. It told them what to verify once the decision was made. Calm, methodical, item by item, even as the plane was descending over Manhattan.
Which is the point? The checklist doesn't replace judgment. It creates a structure around judgment so that when things go wrong, you're not trying to invent a procedure from scratch while your heart rate is through the roof.
That's the aspiration for the car version, scaled down to the right level. Nobody's going to face a dual engine failure in a Honda Civic, but a blowout on the highway at 70 miles an hour? That's the moment you wish you'd done the penny test 3 weeks ago.
That same principle, don't wait for the emergency, is why the pre-trip extended inspection is where this booklet really earns its laminated spine. You're about to drive 800 miles to see family. You've got a car full of luggage, maybe kids, maybe a deadline. That's not the moment to rely on memory.
This is where the aviation comparison gets surprisingly direct. A private pilot's pre-flight checklist takes 15 to 20 minutes and covers over 30 items. For a 6-hour drive, spending 10 minutes on a 15-item checklist is not excessive. It's proportional.
The first thing on the pre-trip page is something almost nobody checks. The spare tire. You assume it's there. You assume it's inflated. But spare tires lose pressure over time just like the other four, and the one time you need it is exactly the wrong time to discover it's flat.
The booklet says, spare tire pressure. Pass criteria matches the pressure stamped on the sidewall, usually 60 psi for a compact spare. And while you're in the trunk, verify the jack and lug wrench are present and functional. Pass criteria, jack raises and lowers smoothly, lug wrench fits the lug nuts.
You'd be surprised how many people discover their jack is missing the handle when they're on the shoulder of an interstate. The booklet can't prevent that specific moment of despair, but it can prevent you from being the person experiencing it.
Next, all fluid top-offs become actual checks rather than glances. Engine oil, coolant, brake fluid, windshield washer fluid, and transmission fluid if your car has a dipstick for it. The pre-trip criteria are stricter here. You're not just looking for between the marks, you're looking for at or near the full mark because you're about to put sustained load on every system.
Belt tension is the one most people have never checked in their lives. The serpentine belt drives your alternator, power steering bump, air conditioning compressor. The booklet says, look for cracks, fraying, or blazing on the rib side. Pass criteria, no visible cracks, no missing ribs, no shiny or glazed appearance. If you see any of those, you replace it before the trip, full stop.
Brake pad thickness. You can often see the pads through the wheel spokes without removing anything. The booklet gives you a number, greater than 3 millimeters of friction material visible. Less than that, you're into the wear indicator zone and you need new pads before a long drive.
Then the light check, but this time it's comprehensive, not just headlights. Turn signals, brake lights, high beams, reverse lights, hazard flashes. The booklet includes the classic two-person method. One person cycles through the controls while the other stands behind the car, but it also notes that you can back up to a garage door or a storefront window at night and see the reflections yourself.
Which is the solo driver workaround that nobody tells you about. The cabin air filter makes the pre-trip list too, because a clogged filter on a long drive with the AC running turns your ventilation into a wheeze. Pop it out, hold it to the light, same pass criteria as the engine air filter.
Now here's the element that separates this booklet from a simple to-do list. After you've gone through all 15 items, the final page of the pre-trip section has a challenge response verification step. You read each item aloud and physically touch the component you just checked.
This is the technique from that University of Michigan Transportation Research Institute study. 42% reduction in omission errors. You read engine oil out loud, you reach out and touch the dipstick. You read coolant reservoir, you touch the cap. It sounds almost ritualistic, but that's exactly why it works. The physical act closes the loop in a way that a mental checkmark doesn't.
Touching the thing forces your brain to confirm you actually did the thing. It's the difference between thinking, yeah, I checked the tires, and putting your hand on each valve stem, and remembering you skipped the rear driver's side because the phone rang.
The booklet includes a notes section at the back. This is where it stops being just a checklist and starts being a maintenance log. You record the date and mileage at each check. Over time, patterns emerge. You notice the oil level dropping a little more between checks than it did 6 months ago. You see that the coolant is slowly trending toward the minimum line. These are the early warnings that prevent breakdowns.
That's the thing about car problems. They almost never happen suddenly. They telegraph themselves over weeks or months. The notes section turns the booklet into a diagnostic tool, not just a reminder list.
Now we have to talk about the biggest obstacle to all of this, which is the psychological barrier. The person who says, I know my car, I don't need a checklist.
The expert blind spot. The more familiar you are with something, the more likely you are to skip steps because your brain tells you it's all under control.
It's not just cars. It's the same phenomenon that makes experienced surgeons resist checklists, makes senior pilots more prone to procedural drift, makes the person who's changed their own oil for 20 years forget to tighten the drain plug one time in 21 years.
The checklist isn't an admission that you don't know your car. It's an admission that you're human, and humans skip steps, especially under time pressure, especially when they're confident. The booklet is the thing that catches the skip.
There's a model for this that's been working for 50 years. The Motorcycle Safety Foundation developed something called T-Clock back in the 1970s. It's an acronym: tires, controls, lights, oil, chassis, kickstand. A pre-ride inspection checklist that fits on a wallet card and has probably saved thousands of riders from discovering a loose axle nut at highway speed.
You could adapt that for cars as something like T-Cloth. Tires, controls, lights, oil, transmission fluid, hoses. Same principle, same mnemonic, same muscle memory.
The motorcycle community embraced T-Clock because riding comes with built-in consequences for mechanical failure. You can't just coast to the shoulder when your chain snaps. The car community never developed the same culture because cars feel like safety bubbles. You're insulated from the machine in a way that makes the machine feel abstract.
Until the machine reminds you it's not abstract. Usually at the worst possible moment, in the worst possible location, we've designed the thing. Now the question is whether anyone actually makes one and puts it in their glove box, and I think the answer is yes, if we make it stupidly easy.
The template approach. Daily quick scan, monthly deep check, pre-trip extended. Print them on cardstock, run them through a laminator, or take them to any copy shop and ask for the 5mm laminate pouch. Total cost is maybe $6 in 20 minutes.
The lamination matters. This thing is going to live in a car. It's going to experience temperature swings from freezing to 140 degrees in the sun, coffee spills, greasy fingers. If it's not laminated, it's pulp within a month.
The other thing about the physical format, you can keep a dry erase marker with it. Check off items as you go, wipe it clean when you're done. No phone unlocking, no app loading, no battery at 4% anxiety.
Now, if someone listening to this does exactly one thing differently after this episode, it should be checking tire pressure before a long drive. The Department of Energy numbers are stock. Underinflated tires cause 90% of blowouts and knock up to 3% off your fuel economy. That's not a rounding error on an 800-mile trip.
It's the single easiest check on the list. You don't need to open the hood. You don't need a mechanic's knowledge. You need a $3 pressure gauge and the sticker on your driver's door jamb that tells you the target PSI. 30 seconds per tire.
The habit-building advice is to start small. Don't try to do all three tiers on day one. Just do the daily quick scan for a week. That's 2 minutes. Walk around the car, look at the tires, check for puddles, glance at the dash lights. Do that every morning for 7 days, and you've established the pattern.
The 21-day rule isn't magic, but the research on habit formation consistently lands in the 3 to 4 week range for simple behaviors to become automatic. Once the daily scan is baked in, add the monthly deep check. By week 4, you've got a functioning maintenance rhythm that covers most preventable failures.
The pre-trip list is the one you don't need to practice daily. You just need it to exist, laminated and waiting, for the moment you're about to drive 6 hours with a car full of people you care about. That's when you pull it out and spend 10 minutes doing what pilots have done for a century. There's an open question that's going to matter more every year. Electric vehicles don't have oil, don't have serpentine belts, don't have transmission dipsticks. The maintenance profile shifts to battery health, cooling system integrity, software updates, and tire wear that's accelerated by instant torque. Does the checklist model still hold?
The model holds. What changes is the items on the list. Instead of engine oil between marks, you've got coolant level and battery thermal management reservoir. Instead of belt tension, you're checking high voltage cable insulation for chafing. The human factors principle is identical. You're just auditing a different set of failure points.
Some things carry over completely. Tires don't care what's spinning them. Fluid puddles under the car are still bad news, even if the fluid is different. The walk around still matters.
The bigger shift might not be gas to electric. It's the fact that cars are becoming computers, and computers can run their own diagnostics. The tire pressure monitoring system already does one item on our list automatically. So the question becomes, does the checklist migrate from a laminated card to the infotainment screen? Voice prompts that walk you through the steps.
I think the medium changes, but the method shouldn't. A screen prompt that says, check engine oil is fine, but the moment you have to tap done on a touchscreen while standing next to a hot engine, you've introduced exactly the kind of cognitive split the checklist was supposed to eliminate. Voice prompts with verbal confirmation might be better. The car asks, you answer, it logs.
That's where the aviation model comes full circle. Modern airliners have electronic checklists on the flight deck screens, but the pilots still do the challenge response pattern. One reads, the other does, they confirm verbally. The computer didn't replace the human in the loop. It just replaced the paper the humans were holding.
The laminated booklet might look quaint in 10 years, but the principle, structured sequential verification of critical systems before you put a machine in motion, that's not going anywhere.
That's the thought I want to leave hanging. We built this for a 1998 Camry or a 2024 crossover. But the same template, with different items, works for whatever comes next. The checklist is the constant. The car is just the thing you're checking.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, for making this sound like something.
If you found this useful, head to myweirdprompts.com for the template we described, 3 pages, ready to print and laminate. We'll put it up as a free download.
Until next time, check your tires.
Touch the dipstick.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.